everybody. This is Mike, the host of Professional Defender. For those of you watching on YouTube and Spotify, thanks for coming back to the channel and checking out this podcast. Today's episode, we're still going through the PCS process. Last week, we discussed the PCS purge and why that's important and some different things to consider whenever you're going through the process of purging your house to get ready to PCS. And again, the purge, if you didn't listen to last week up to that episode, go back and check it out. We just talked about the process of getting rid of all the stuff that you accumulate over time. This week, we're going to go into getting your house ready to sell. So if you bought your house, or even if you rented it and you need to fix some things before you move, because kids, right? I mean, stuff happens. You nick walls. You hang stuff up and you need to patch holes. Stuff happens. If you have pets, maybe your cat messed up the carpet or your dog chewed up a door. Stuff happens, right? So what you want to keep in mind when it comes time to get ready to fix stuff in your house, are you going to DIY it? Are you going to figure out how to do it yourself? Maybe you're super handy and you know how to do a bunch of stuff already. And if you do, that's awesome. Or do you need to outsource all of it? Now, if you live, let's say you live on base housing, we all know, we've all heard horror stories about, you know, base housing either not fixing it right, not fixing it at all, or telling you it was fixed and you get charged for it later. So you really need to be careful about how you fix stuff up, because especially if you are renting, you want to make sure you get your deposit back. I can't speak for living on base. I've never lived on base, so I don't know about any of that stuff. I don't think you have a deposit to get on base. I think they just take it out of your BAH. So I really don't know. So I can't, anything I'm about to tell you is not going to be pertinent to living on base because I've never lived on base. But I have rented houses. I've rented apartments and we've now bought two houses and getting ready to sell this one. So this is what I do when we're getting ready to move and put our house on the market. Or from whenever we left living in a house. Even when we rented, we always took care of the houses as if it was our own, as if we were paying a mortgage instead of just paying rent. That is important because some people, whenever they rent, they're like, it's not mine, it doesn't matter. Who cares if something breaks? I never wanted to leave a house in worse shape than I got there in. When we lived in Alaska, we painted a room. I think we painted two rooms, actually, because they were like this weird, Texas Longhorn burnt orange or something. I don't know. It was really weird. My daughter didn't like it, and so we asked them if we could paint. So yeah, they let us paint. Our house that we had in Louisiana, the house that we rented there when we first had brought our kids home, the flower bed was boring and plain, so we fixed that up. You know, we made little improvements. We painted one room in that house for sure. No, we painted two rooms. Painted both the girls' rooms. So we just try to make little improvements over time. And then whenever we leave, we go through and I like to hang stuff on the wall with a nail. I don't trust those 3M strips. So what I do, once I take everything down, I go through and you get some spackle and a trowel and you just fill the holes in. And then you get some touch-up paint and you go over it with some touch-up paint. No big deal. Some bigger things that may seem intimidating, but they're not, patching drywall. Patching drywall is actually not super hard. For example, in the house we're in now, my kid ripped the towel bar out of the wall. Don't ask me how. I have no idea. Probably because she was yanking down her towel instead of just pulling it off. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I have to patch a little hole in the drywall. It's not that difficult. It's super easy. You can look it up on YouTube. You can learn so much about how to fix stuff by just Googling it and then watching a YouTube video about it. It is a wealth of information out there if you just take 10 seconds to Google it. Now, I will say this. Bigger sections of drywall can be a little bit more difficult to do. I had to do another repair in the house and I outsourced it because I knew it was outside my skill set. I didn't have the tools to do it properly. And by the time I would have bought the tools and the material, it would have been cheaper just to outsource it anyway. So I do a lot of stuff myself. I will patch drywall. I will fill nail holes. I have changed door locks. I've changed door handles. I've even changed how the strike plate sits in a door. That way, it'll actually close better and lock better. Because and it was super easy. It took a chisel, which I had, and a box cutter. Just changed the wood. It just wasn't fitting right with the way the wood was. So I just changed it a little bit. No big deal. Fixed it. Sprinkler heads. Our yard has in-ground irrigation. This is the first yard I've ever had that had in-ground irrigation. It never fails. Every time we turn them on, there's like three broken sprinkler heads. Meaning the first time, every time for the first time for the year that we turn them on, there's like three broken sprinkler heads. I don't know if they get driven over in the off season, I guess. I don't know. We tend to camp a lot in the fall when you're not really using the sprinklers. So I don't know if the camper runs over it or what. But last year there was one that was broken. It was in the middle of the yard. I know I didn't drive over it. I don't drive in my grass in the middle of the yard, at least. So, and that stuff is like, it seems like that would be super intimidating. Like you're messing with water lines, but it was actually super easy because there's no water running through the line unless it's turned on. And it ended up just being, all you got to do is dig it down a little bit, unscrew it and screw the new one on, and then just adjust it. So you could outsource that if you wanted to, but that's like a $4 part and they're going to charge you at least $100 to come to your house. So now I will say this also, when you're making the decision whether to do it yourself or to outsource it, think about how much time it's going to take for a professional versus you. For me, I know if I watch a video and they're like, oh, this should take about 20 minutes to do, in my head, I'm doubling it. I'm like, okay, well, it took them 20. It's probably going to take me 40 minutes to an hour. With that said, I did, that, if you're on YouTube, you can go back and watch the video of how I played limbo with the bridge and knocked off the air conditioner on our camper. Bridge obviously won. And we ordered a new one and probably saved $500 by installing it myself versus paying Camping World to do it or somebody else to do it. Of course, that cost us $1,100 by breaking it, but that's neither here nor there. So I watched the video on that and they were saying it took them like an hour. So in my head, I'm like, okay, this is going to take a while. Seriously, it was a 20-minute job. It took longer to pick up the pieces out of the grass from throwing the other air conditioner, the old air conditioner off the roof than it took to actually get it installed because it was 4 bolts. But again, watch the YouTube video, saw how they did it, watched another couple ones, and I was like, if they can do it, I can do it. I'm pretty confident in my abilities to do certain things, and that was 4 bolts. However, there was something else we had to do in the house, and it was dealing with the floor. And there was another thing, it was like, I don't know if y'all can hear or see my dog back here going crazy. But there was some flooring, and then there's some stuff with some baseboards, and I don't have a nail gun to use those little finish nailers, and I really didn't want to do it by hand. So because there were like 3 or 4 things that needed to get done, I outsourced that. And it took that guy maybe an hour to do all of it. And it would have been an 8-hour job with 3 trips to the hardware store for me. Just because there was so many different things. I doubt I would have gotten the right thing the first time because it was drywall, it was baseboard. There was a little transfer strip between the tile and the vinyl flooring that he had to do. He was awesome. He did it seriously. He had to come back over the course of 2 days because once he put the drywall up, he mudded it and sanded it and had to wait on all that stuff to dry so he'd come back and paint it. So consider time. There's only so much time in the day, right? And even me as a stay-at-home dad, if it's going to take him an hour and it's going to take me 8, makes a whole lot more sense to outsource it, right? Because why waste my entire day when there's other things that I need to do when someone else can do it in a quarter of the time or better? I actually probably going to use them again because we have some screens that my dog tore up on the outside for our screened-in porch. And I know how to replace screens. I can replace screens on windows. I can replace screens on the doors. But this is like a really big section. This is like a 5x6 or 5x7 section of screen that I really just don't want to do myself. I don't. And I'm probably going to go ahead and have them do the screens on the door and the other window because animals. But I just don't want to do it myself. And if they're already going to be here doing it, why not just go and have that, go ahead and have them do the rest of it? And there's another baseboard that we have to replace. So just going to get them to do all of it. They'll probably knock it out in a day, as opposed to me taking forever to do it. But don't be afraid to do stuff yourself. You know, patching drywall is not that difficult. You know, filling nail holes, not that difficult. But just make sure you're comfortable with what you're doing, and don't be afraid to try something that's a little bit outside your comfort zone. Because, I mean, you never know what you're capable of until you try it, right? And if you mess it up, then you know, okay, well, this was outside of my skill set. I either need to study it a little bit harder, or I just need to outsource it. And that's not a bad thing. Because if you do it, you did it, and you fix it, then you just put that tool in your toolkit. And now you know going forward, okay, this is something I can do. I don't have to worry about paying somebody else to do it. I just do it myself and save a bunch of time, a bunch of money. And I really don't have a lot to talk about this week. This is probably one of the shorter episodes, because really when it comes time to get ready to move, you want your house to present the best picture that it possibly can. It can't do that if you have a bunch of holes in the wall, if your paint is chipped and messed up, if stuff doesn't work. So, you know, once you've talked to your realtor, or once you've told your landlord you're leaving, you know, before, like with us, with the realtor, she told us when they're going to come take pictures. So now I have a deadline on when I need to get that stuff done. So starting next week, I'm just going to go and start every day, fix one room, because there's really not a lot that's messed up. I'll tell you this, those, you know how like people love those LED strip lights? Those will rip the paint clean off a wall. My daughter wanted them like in a, like an arch over her bed. And I think she used them for about a month and a half and then never turned them on again. And they, you can see exactly where they came off, because they just ripped the paint clean off of it. So I get to fix that. That's going to be fun. But again, not hard. It's just more annoying, I guess. But think about all that stuff. Once you talk to your realtor and they say, okay, we're going to take pictures in 3 weeks. Now you know you've got 3 weeks to make your house look the best way, the best you can. And that sounds like not a lot of time, and it's really not if you're having to outsource stuff. So fix as much as you can by yourself. You're going to save a bunch of money, and you're going to feel a little bit better about yourself when you do it, because you'll be able to look at it and go, I did that. That was me. But super short episode today, because I really don't have anything else to talk about. That was pretty straightforward. Fix it yourself. Pay somebody to do it. You know, time is money. I know that's like the oldest cliche ever, but time is money. So, you know, your time is valuable. Even if you're like me and you're a stay-at-home spouse, time is valuable. And when there's other things you could be doing, you might as well go do it. But I hope you have a great day. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you next week. Cheers.